Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Patriots Monday on WEEI, featuring Tom Brady on The Greg Hill Show.
Tom Brady, good morning.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
James White on Dale and Keith.
Just got to find a way to, you know, live up to that potential.
And Bill Belichick on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
Well, I think this team has plenty of confidence in each other.
Patriots Monday.
Let's do it.
WEEI.
The helmet thing is a personal matter to him. You know, he has a strong feeling about what he's worn on his head, and we're supporting him.
I don't need the blade.
And I don't really love the one that I'm in, but, you know, I don't really have much of a choice.
Dale Arnold.
Anything? No, people read it.
There's Jarrett Stidham, your 2020 starting quarterback for the Patriots.
Oh, God.
We've lost Tom Brady.
Rich Keefe.
Rich is off on vacation today.
He's no longer on the Turbo Team.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
All right, it's a Wiggy Wednesday.
Wait a minute. It's hard for me to be wrong.
Magic Andy.
Saltburn.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI, a Patriots Monday, Dale and Keefe, live at Gillette Stadium. We will be here all season long from now until whenever the playoff run ends. Love my Monday commutes, not going to lie. Makes my day.
So February.
Well, that's the idea, right?
Or is it?
Real early February, too. It's like February 1st or 2nd.
Oh, that's when
the Super Bowl.
First Sunday falls in February this year.
It's a very early. If the Patriots are in the Super Bowl and we go do the week of shows in Miami for the Super Bowl, we'll be there the whole last week of January.
And Miami's a good place now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one place. If you want to have a Super Bowl and you want to go to, Miami's the place you want to go to.
I can remember vividly, I think it was Bill Parcells who once said to me, Dale, I'm getting too old to coach jerks. And he was talking about the fact that talent matters, and it does. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking today the Pittsburgh Steelers are not unhappy that Antonio Brown is no longer a part of their franchise.
No. He was a headache for them for quite a long. Now, they may be unhappy in like week eight if they're not winning and their offense isn't as good, because they're trying the whole, they're kind of doing the Celtics thing. They're saying chemistry is going to trump talent.
Right.
We had Le'Veon Bell. We had Antonio Brown. We had talent, and it was a headache, and it didn't work, and Ben fought with him. And now they're going the other way.
I think it did work because, I mean, you think about the teams that when you talked about could potentially beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship, the Pittsburgh Steelers for a number of years were that. They were that team. So for them, I think it worked in the sense that they were able to be successful and win. The only problem is they were in the AFC and they had to deal with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady.
The old Colts problem.
Yeah.
They were the second best team.
Right. So, I mean, when you look at saying it doesn't work is like what we saw with the Celtics, right? Getting bounced in the first, second round of the playoffs. And when you look at what, like, I've played with a lot of great players that had issues, right? And at the end of the day, give me that great player,
I don't always think that's true.
Well,
I think Kyrie Irving is Exhibit A, and I know you think he's a talented guy, and he is.
As long as I have,
he's a pain in the ass.
But as long as I have other players in the room, which in football you have other guys in the room that can kind of, you know, rein that guy in.
Right.
At the end of the day, you're not finding Antonio Brown's just like, they're not just rolling up to your team and saying, all right, I'm here to play. The guy's one of the best receivers in the game.
Right. I've always said, like, receivers or pass rushers, give me the guy that takes a couple plays off. He's the best there is.
You got to deal with it.
Khalil Mack, you know, if you tell me Khalil Mack gives me 100% on 70% of the snaps, I'll take it, because he's that damn good.
And think about the Antonio Brown thing, right? You might talk, like a lot of people might talk about maybe some of the things that he's doing, but from all accounts, they talk about this guy as being one of the hottest workers in practice. You know, he's not a guy who's taking off plays. I played with Randy Moss. You know, Moss, hey, at times, on the backside, he's not getting the ball. He walking off the ball?
And I'll take him.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the other times you look.
But was Moss a disruptive influence?
Well, he didn't get traded because of on the field.
Yeah, Moss,
he got traded out of here because off the field he was starting to chirp. He wanted a contract.
There were
young players that they didn't want.
And
being
I think
led.
Bill Belichick said, "You know what? He's a great player, but I'm better off with him
Guess
gone.
What? He wasn't that great anymore.
No, but he was still good.
It's the whole Ray Rice, Colin Kaepernick thing. If Ray Rice were in year two and coming off a 2,000-yard season,
right.
Ray Rice would have been back. If Colin Kaepernick was Tom Brady, he'd be back. Talent trumps all in the National Football League.
We've seen it in Kansas City with
Tyreek Hill.
No, not Tyreek Hill. The running back, Kareem Hunt. You see a guy like that because he's talented. Right. Moss was the type of guy where, and I don't know about Antonio Brown, like in the locker room, maybe those players really loved him. I mean, think about it. When you talk about a guy being a distraction, is he a distraction because like a Terrell Owens where he's dividing the locker room, or is he a distraction but the players in that locker room like him? He just is one of those guys where he might go back and forth with the coaches. There are a lot of guys like that where Antonio Brown's teammates might look at him like, AB was a cool dude. He was a good teammate. That's how I felt about Moss.
He might be a great teammate, but if he's withholding services because he's having his own little hissy fit
right.
with the NFL and the NFLPA. By the way, there are 2016 roster and practice squad players in the National Football League. He wants to be the only one of the 2016 who doesn't have to follow the rules. The rules,
well,
by the way,
guys like that.
He's the only one. The testers were put in place by the NFL and the NFLPA.
Right.
They never agree on anything.
Right.
They agreed on this.
And I would also say, if I'm a teammate, okay, you want to fight this, and I might even side with you. You should be able to wear your helmet.
Right.
Wear the stupid new helmet in practice. Get your ass out here while that plays itself out in the arbitration hearing or whatever the decision is, right? So you're just staying away completely.
Right.
That wouldn't fly. I want to ask you, the other report was from Michael Silver, who, by the way, I don't really understand these long tweet threads.
Yeah, doesn't NFL.com want you to write a story?
Take all those tweets that you, and put it on a website where they click on it and we get ad revenue, but that's a side topic. One of the tweets was he's in meetings, not paying, and he's checking his bank accounts. Would that bother you if you're sitting next to him in that meeting and you just say, it'd probably bother you that his bank account was as big as it is.
I'd be like, damn. Damn, AB.
Would that bother you?
It wouldn't bother me because... Like,
oh, come on, Wiggy. Could you be any more condescending?
No, I'm not.
It wouldn't bother you that the guy isn't listening in meetings.
It wouldn't bother me because at the end of the day, I've played with guys. It's very simple. You play with a lot of guys, and you say this all the time. What's the saying? It's like, don't do what I do.
As I say, not as I do?
Yes, do as I say, not as I do. I was drawing a blank on that one for some reason. I tell my kid that all the time. But you look at guys like that have that ability, like Randy Moss. When I played with Randy Moss, guess what? He was on a different floor than everybody else when we traveled. So there are just guys.
The Jordan rules.
Yeah,
there's a whole book written about it.
Right, there are guys that have the ability to do. So AB, he can look at his bank account. I can't. So I don't have an issue with that because...
So everybody else in that room has to pay attention to the meeting, but he doesn't have to.
There might be guys that have an issue with that. I'm not saying that. Like, I got to play with a guy like Willie McGinnis. He would take an issue with that.
Oh, yes.
But I, as a player, I'm like, yo, dude, as long as I know on the field you're going to do what you're supposed to do, that, for me, works.
Except if he's not listening in the meeting, how are you assured he's going to know what to do?
Well, because you see it every week and you go, damn, that's pretty impressive. He ignores the meeting and still goes out and catches eight for $1.40.
I mean,
flow like a butterfly getting ready to sting like AB.
You think about it. I don't know if you guys went to Rodney Harrison's Hall of Fame induction here at Gillette when they had it about a week ago.
No. So, I saw some of it.
So Rodney tells a story, and this is true, about Ty Law and the meetings. Law's sleeping and Ty doesn't know, and he's like, why do I need to know that? Just, I'm going to cover the guy that you need me to cover.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And Bill Belichick was okay with that.
I think Bill kind of, yeah.
The funny thing is, the more of these they have with Matt Light, Ty Law, all these guys, you find out, like, Junior Seau's, like, they're all sort of, they're so great, they're kind of, like, Ty's thing was always, and I think Teddy Bruschi used to say, Ty wouldn't even pay attention to the huddle. He'd say, Teddy, man or zone? That's all I need to know.
That's
man or zone?
And that's the way Ty was because, you know, Ty knew, like, all right, I'm going to be playing man. I got him. I'm going to lock him down. And
he's got three picks against Peyton Manning.
Right. And so does Bill like it? Maybe not. But does Bill go, you know what? I have to deal with it because the guy's that talented? Yeah. Do I have to deal with when we're watching film and you're highlighting me for not giving any effort on a specific route, but then Randy Moss is on the backside basically walking off the line of scrimmage?
And you keep your mouth shut.
Right.
Right. You don't say, what about Randy?
Yeah. You just
you keep your mouth shut because you'll be out of
town. So if you're all sitting in the meeting room mm-hmm. and the meeting starts at 10, and I'm just using this as an example, and AB decides I'll stroll in at 10:05. You're okay with everybody else sitting there having to wait for him to show up?
Well, listen, that's called, you know what that's called? That's called the AB plan. I'm not on the AB plan. I can't do
it. But you're
AB
okay with sitting there. Everybody else is there. Everybody's ready to go.
I don't have an issue with that.
But you all got to sit and wait for this guy to decide he's going to show up.
You know why I don't have an issue with that? Because I learned really early when I got into the league that everybody is treated differently.
Yep.
Nobody's treated the same. And a lot of the treatment that you get is based on what you do on the field, your production. And I learned that a long time ago. So stuff like that don't bother me. You know, I'm not the type of guy who's going to be like, you know, grab me. Why are you not here at meetings at time? You know, coach says be here.
Why do I have to sit and wait for you?
Hey, listen, that's the way it works, man. And so that's
because he's really good.
Right. That's when you deal.
So you're okay with it, too?
I'm not like.
Well, you make it sound like you're believing everything Wiggy's selling here,
but
I'm
a realist. I know how the world works. Talent beats all. It's why musicians who are the best musicians can blow things off and just show up and they don't get fired or anything. When you're the best and you're super talented, it's a different world for you. It's the Jordan rules. It's the Moss rules. It's whatever you want to call it.
You think that Brad Marchand does some of that stuff and those guys go and look at him and go, man, why is he acting like this?
He never does anything like what we described. He does those things on the ice,
ice.
And by the way, they talk to him and say, what are you doing?
But at the end of the day, when he's scoring, you know, two goals a game or whatever, they kind of, you know what, that's Brad Marchand being Brad Marchand, right? And that's the way when you're that talented, and I think there'll be some guys that might have an issue with it, but the majority of guys are like, you know what, hey, I wish I was at that status or at that level where I could have my own, you know, do what I want to do.
So if Willie McGinnis was here, running the locker room the way he did back in the day, he was the boss, okay?
Yes.
And Randy Moss isn't paying attention in meetings, Willie would say, well, yeah, he's really good.
No, but that Willie might say, hey, he might grab Moss and take him to the side, like, man, hey, listen, this is
how it matters.
Yeah, to Willie.
No, you know where it matters? You know, if Willie were the great leader that I think he was, you know what he'd probably do? Wouldn't pull Moss aside. He'd probably pull the young receivers aside and say, listen, I know you see Moss doing this. You ain't Randy Moss.
Right.
You're a different beast. You need to do it the right way.
I don't think that's what he'd do.
And you know what?
I think he'd pull Randy Moss.
No, and I think Moss would say, you want to win or you want me gone?
And you know what? Andy's right. Now that I think about it, that's the type of leader Willie is. Willie would have said, don't do what he does.
Right.
Right? Because you're not him. You know, and I've heard Willie say that before. I think Willie might also still talk to Randy and said, hey, man, this is how we do things around here. You know, we had a talk when they – Rodney Harrison, he talked to him because Rodney came out and was hitting people left and right. And he's like, hey, Rodney, we know you can play. Slow down.
Right.
We're not trying to, you know, kill our own teammates here. But Willie's a different breed, right? Willie's a different character. You think Ty Law's going to say anything to Moss if he's chilling?
Well, you know who Randy Moss's best buddy or two of his best buddies on this team were? Two of the greatest leaders this franchise has had in Kevin Falk and Vince Wilfork, right?
Right.
So they found a way to connect with Randy Moss on a certain level. There's something you have to accept when you accept Randy Moss the talent.
Right, and you know, okay, he might take a play or two off here or there, but he still, when it's not cutting time, he's going to make a play.
So there's no such thing as the Patriot way then? The Patriot way, it doesn't apply to people who are supremely talented.
But
they can do their own way.
But that's part of every team. Every team, even the Patriot way.
There's a Patriot way is malleable.
Right.
Is that the right way you used that word, dude?
I don't know. What's malleable?
I'm not exactly sure where you were going, but it sounded really good.
Because the Patriot way, what for like 18 years, was Tom Brady was your hardest worker, and Tom Brady was always here for OTAs. And then the Patriot way was Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski take the year off. And you know what the Patriot way still was?
Well, not the year off, the OTAs.
The OTAs.
Right.
And then the Patriot way was still winning the damn Super Bowl last February.
The Patriot way is fluid.
Yes.
So
malleable, if you will.
It's constantly moving. And depending on who you are, it depends on how far that leash is going to move. We heard it all the time, right? Where, you know what, Darrell Revis doesn't show up. I think he
so why not did, an issue. Why was Pittsburgh so anxious to get Antonio Brown
Malcolm
out of town?
Because he was an endless headache. He was skipping games. He was not doing things like it had reached a point where it was detrimental to the team.
Right.
There's a line. There is a line for everybody. Even the most talented player, there's a line where, okay, it's no longer worth it.
Right.
You're no longer a net positive. You just became a net negative.
Right, and we saw that here. Like my example was, I remember Darrell Revis missed like some workouts or whatever. No problem. Malcolm Butler misses workouts. You don't even see him in the OTAs. You can't practice, whatever it might be.
We're not all the same. That's a harsh reality.
And that's the thing where I think a lot of people that are not in the locker room and haven't played don't realize is that a lot of players feel the way I feel. It's like, that guy's different. He's hit the rules that apply to Randy Moss don't apply to me.
Why did Belichick trade Randy Moss?
Well, because he wanted more money and he was making a stink. That was really the Moss.
So there are things I'm not putting up with. There are things I have to put up with.
You think if Moss had been 26 at the time instead of whatever he was, he would have been traded? Because I don't. I think they would have found a way to make it work. He finds a way to make it work until you're not worth it anymore, right? Ty Law called the man a liar.
Right.
Yeah, that was sort of harsh.
He called him a liar. Right. He brought him back. Then when Ty Law wasn't as good anymore, Ty Law's gone. It's kind of, to bring us full circle, ties into Tom Brady's dad saying, it'll end badly for Tom, too.
Right.
At whatever point Tom is not the best quarterback for the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick will move on from Tom Brady.
It's when Ty Law goes, listen, I don't need to pay attention to means. You know why? Because I'm going to lock down the star receiver and I'm going to have two interceptions. Bill goes, hey, Rodney, make sure Ty knows what's going on.
Exactly.
That's ultimately the way it works. But when you're performing that well, if Ty's not performing.
Well, Antonio Brown's still probably the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Right, but
Pittsburgh said, we got to get him out.
It's how much you're willing
to. We got to move
on. But it's how much you're willing.
It was a detriment to the team at that point.
Yeah, and Dale, it's how much you're willing to deal with what that guy brings to the table, right? If that guy brings a certain thing to the table. It's like I played with Steve Smith, one of the best receivers I played with. When he didn't get the ball and he was frustrated, he came back to the sidelines, everybody heard about it.
Right.
And away was like, damn.
And by the way, if we are to believe reports, and I believe reports because I've heard similar
things. Because you are a reporter.
Yes. Patriots were interested in a couple receivers over the last 2 years. What were their names? Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr.
Right.
Both of them have their issues or headaches or rules. Is Bill just gotten dumb? Or is the Patriot way malleable because you are talented?
Well, they even called up Pittsburgh for it. And I don't know how true this is. We heard Antonio Brown. I think it was Drew Rosenhaus was his agent, right? We talked about.
I believe everything he says.
Well, you should.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if
it's fun.
But there was an alleged report out there that the Patriots called
and
inquired about giving up draft picks for Antonio Brown.
Which, by the way, Pittsburgh was never going to do. But
Unless you blew him away because, we already can't beat you.
But you look at it, and so when you look at certain guys, they're a thing. Every team has it. The Patriot way, it doesn't. But, what's the word you use?
Malleable.
Malleable.
I hope it's right. We've used
it. I don't know. I use fluid, but that's
good too.
That's the way it works. And we know that there are some players that might say something to that player. Hey, man. Pay attention. Don't be looking at your bank account.
They call it the Patriot way.
I remember there was a time, and it was year two or three of Corey Dillon, where he was just going off in a media scrum at his locker, and he said something, and he literally said, go tell Bill, I don't give an F.
Right.
If Nick Brissett, the guy who just had 20 carries in a preseason game, told reporters to go talk to Bill, I don't give an F, he's getting called on the red carpet, and his time in New England is done. Corey Dillon? You take it? Why? I'm going to tell you. There were 1,600 reasons why. He was your lead back. He helped you win a Super Bowl. It's happened endless times over the years. You can pick endless examples that if you're good, you get away with stuff. How often do we see a guy like gets a DUI or a domestic who's 53 on the roster? Gone.
Right.
They don't even ask questions. You are cut immediately.
We've seen it with Tyreek Hill, right?
If you're at the top of the roster, we got to wait till the facts play themselves out and really let the justice system do what it needs to do. There are different rules. It's just, Dale, you live in a fantasy land if you think everybody
and even with the coach.
Wait a minute. Then Pittsburgh, why'd they trade him?
Because he wasn't worth it anymore.
There's a point where they're not worth it.
I've said that a million times. Once you cross the line to net negative and no longer net positive,
you're gone. Pittsburgh is sorry he's gone now?
No, but I
don't at all.
In week 8, they may be sorry he's gone.
Right.
When all of a sudden Juju's getting doubled.
I think they're laughing at this. They're looking at this stuff out of open. They are laughing.
Dale, maybe right at this point where we're getting ready to play the second preseason game, but Andy's 100% right. Week 7, week 8, when they look at their wide receiver core and they're not able to do anything in the passing.
Juju is getting doubled instead of having Brown doubled.
You don't think they're sitting in that meeting, or there's going to be one or two coaches in that meeting room that really like, you know, that really liked Antonio Brown and didn't want to see him leave and maybe could deal with that. We'll go there and go, man, sure could use Antonio Brown right now. Sure could use AB.
617-779-7937. Rob's in Charlestown. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You know, the part that amazes me is this conversation happens quite a bit, and we act like this is something new. It's, you know, it's an anomaly. This has been going on even when guys like Babe Ruth were playing. The problem, if you want to even call it a problem, is we're just more aware of it. It's like the concussion theory.
Right.
There are no more concussions today than there were 30 years ago. We're just more aware of these things.
Yep.
And, you know, as far as players being treated differently, let's face it, that's how society is. If you got money, you can get out of a DUI. You can get the special treatment at a hospital. You have a private room. I mean, that's how society is. It's not the greatest way, but that's how we all are. I mean, the best-looking people get photographed all the time. You know, it's just the way society is. And,
it works in this business here. Hey, if you're producing ratings, you probably get a little bit more juice than somebody who's not. You might get to say certain things.
Dale, if I say something today, I'm out, and not if you said the same thing, you stay because you're the great Dale Arms.
And Dale, I know when you say they'll do everything in their power to try to keep you here if you're good enough.
And there comes a point.
Yes, but
right,
there always comes a breaking point.
And that's my point. I don't think Pittsburgh's sorry he's gone at all.
I think right now
John Gruden's going, oh, jeez, really?
Not right now.
I got this guy tilting
you
at windmills saying he's not going to play football
if he can't wear his 10-year-old helmet.
Not right now, but come that fall book.
You think the Celtics are going to be upset? You think the Celtics are going to be upset that Kyrie Irving's gone? I think they're happy as hell.
Because I don't know that you ever got the real positive.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good player. But how did you greatly benefit? We kept waiting for him to, you know, why are you going to win in the postseason? Because I'm here. We're going to flip
the switch.
You never saw it.
But you know what I would say, Andy? I bet you there are people in that building over there in that Celtics building that go, we shouldn't have got rid of Kyrie. We probably should have got rid of some of these other guys and kept Kyrie around.
Yeah, Danny Ainge might be one of them.
So I think there are people that look at it that way, that, you know, we got rid of the better player. And ultimately, when you're dealing with that, that's kind of that's ultimately how that thing will rear its ugly head.
And there are successful people in this town. I'm going to use a name. He's very successful. Michael Felger believes the Patriots didn't win in 2007 because Randy Moss is what you're describing. Just an absolute dink, dog, whatever you want to call it. I believe Randy Moss caught a touchdown and left the field with a lead.
Yes,
and
he did.
Somehow he's responsible for that. The team that was going to be anointed the greatest team in football history.
Right.
Then had a defensive lapse,
right?
And that's Randy Moss's fault.
That's just a nitwit idea.
Right.
You know
exactly.
That?
Well,
no. You know that that's a stupid premise.
I know.
So why'd you quote it then?
It goes back to similar to the Moss thing, where it was like, and Felger was one of those guys that Moss is a bad guy in the locker room. And I'm like, no, I played with Moss. That's the same way with Antonio Brown. I don't know about Antonio Brown as a teammate because I never played with him. But what do his teammates say about him? It's one thing when the organization blows you out of here for whatever reason because you're going head-to-head with the coach. But what do his teammates say about him? Are they saying, man, I can't believe they did AB like that, you know, because he's a good teammate? If he wants to look at his bank account, hey, man, he shows up every Sunday and goes out there and balls out.
And that's where I would say the fact that Randy Moss was tight with Vince Wilfork and Kevin Falk, whatever the opposite of guilt by association is, like, that brings credibility to Randy Moss. He may have his issues, but you got two guys that are seen as franchise legends, leaders, you know, do everything the right way or always team first.
Right.
And they're tight with Randy Moss. He can't be all bad.
Nope.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. No Rich today. Andy and Wiggy are here. We're down at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Back to the calls after trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. This whole discussion started with Antonio Brown, who basically has told his employers and the National Football League, you let me do what I want or I'm not playing.
Right.
Which, by the way, he's never going to go through with.
Because 30 million reasons.
Yeah, somebody's going to say, you know you don't get the 30 million if you don't play, right?
I think he should know that, right? And he wanted out of Pittsburgh because he wanted more money.
Plus, he checks his bank accounts all the time. He keeps up on those things.
Right, and what is his nickname? Didn't he call himself, what was he saying? He only wants to go somewhere he can get guaranteed money. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's got it there in Oakland.
I'm an entrepreneur.
His agent's still Rosenhaus, right?
Yeah, isn't it? I believe so.
So I'm guessing he's letting him low. Hey, I want my percentage of the $30 million too, so you will do no such thing as retire.
So earlier today, Brian McCarthy, who is the PR guy for the National Football League, tweeted out the following, quote, "The player can't practice or play in games with equipment that's not approved. If he doesn't play or practice, he is in breach of his contract and doesn't get paid. NFL policy is that helmets have to be certified by NOSCAE." It's this N-O-S-C-A-E.
That's how you say that?
I made it up.
Oh, okay.
They don't certify equipment that's older than 10 years.
Seems arbitrary.
Arbitrary or not, his players' association agreed to this.
Let's make it 15 and let Antonio Brown wear his helmet.
Zero chance.
No, I don't think there's a great chance of it, but I kind of side with Antonio Brown on this. He's not a great guy you want to like hitch your wagon to and side with in general terms, but so my helmet was okay last year. It's not okay this year.
It was okay like 3 years ago.
Right.
And I think his thing is the biggest thing like we talked about is he's probably looking at it and going, well, how much is the new helmet going to protect me versus my helmet?
Right. Versus could I be in jeopardy because I'm not comfortable?
Right.
You know how they tell you if you're not all in on it, like you can't go three-quarter speed because you're going to get hurt? Well, this is a similar version of that. If you're not comfortable on a football field, speeds and the collisions and the angles.
Well, it's like I was telling you guys off the air. I would have a difficulty playing today because when I played, I never wore thigh pads and knee pads because it was too uncomfortable for me, and I just felt like I wasn't the fastest guy anyways. So the more I wore, I felt like I wore small shoulder pads. Yep. And if you're mandating it now, which is you got to wear thigh and knee, I would feel like, man, this is it.
You know what you'd do? You'd wear the thigh and knee pads.
I would wear it.
No offense, that's because you're Jermaine Wiggins. You're not Antonio Brown.
It wouldn't matter. If they say you have to wear them,
I would
you
wear
got no choice.
I would wear them, but I would bitch about them. I'd be like, this is wrong. I'm uncomfortable. What's the difference? How much is this little pad going to protect my thigh?
Okay, so what would you accomplish?
I mean, who knows? Maybe I can take it to
an arbitrator. What's that line from Few Good Men when I strenuously object. I'm going to write a sternly worded letter.
I'm not saying it's going to accomplish much, but you know what? Sometimes just complaining accomplishes a lot of things.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you get to wear your helmet.
No, you never know.
But you get to go home with a smile on your
Peter
face.
Peter King wrote about this in Football Morning in America Today, and talking about how ridiculous this whole thing is, and somebody's got to pull Antonio Brown aside and say, you know, you don't get paid if you don't.
Right.
But as he said, it would be like somebody arguing that they don't want to wear the seatbelts in their car anymore. Well, okay, there's ample evidence that the seatbelt's going to probably save your life.
Right.
And to argue against it, you'll sort of sound like a moron.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, though.
It is. Right?
Like, because there's no, like, in this situation here with the helmet, right? There's nothing saying that by him wearing this helmet, he's automatically going to go out there and suffer.
No,
an
but
injury.
What they are saying is it's an unsafe helmet. Helmets.
It's not as safe as the new one.
No, no, it's unsafe.
No, no, no. They're not saying that because they haven't tested it.
Yes, it's not unsafe. It's not as safe as the new one.
They have ones that are not approved. Though they tested them and they failed to meet the proper standards.
Right.
This one is so outdated, we're not even testing it. They don't make it anymore.
Because
we're
so old and you said it's so outdated, there's no sense in testing it. It won't pass.
But if a guy wants to wear it.
But at one point in time, that helmet.
So if a guy doesn't want to wear his seatbelt, it's kind of his choice.
No, but at one point in time, that helmet was safe.
Right.
Right? That was one of the safest helmets on the market.
Oh, Wiggy, I mean, technology's changed a little bit.
But that doesn't always mean it's bad. My example, if we're going to use the car
right
example, you could have a car you've driven forever.
Right.
That you're very, you've never had an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you had one accident and you walked away fine. You had it fixed. You love this car. Now, this new car at the dealership, it has, you know, collision avoidance and lane monitoring inside this. And you get in it and you're like, but there's a blind spot. I didn't have that blind spot in my old car. I want my old car back because I'm not going to feel comfortable in this car on the highway because when I change lanes, there's a blind spot. You may have all your fancy mumbo-jumbo crap, but if I'm not comfortable driving it on 93 in rush hour, then I'm at a disadvantage. I was comfortable for 10 years. I never had an accident. And I was protected.
And the thing with the helmet, it's not unsafe. It's just not as safe as the new ones in their mind.
And even that, I even think that's theoretical. I think that's all laboratory tested and numbers, and we give you these graphs. And
oh, by the way, maybe. The testing was done by agreed-upon testers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. NFLPA and the NFL, they never agree on anything. They said, yep, you're right. This is the place to have this stuff tested. And they said, these are approved.
But it's approved by their specific guidelines, right?
Right.
So the guidelines now versus when are much higher when Antonio Brown came into the league. So
and should be.
Right, right. And I'm not taking it.
I mean, we know a whole lot more about concussions now than we did.
But we don't know as much as we should know.
But I think
still infancy
stages. I think, Dale, you're right on that, right? Is that we know a whole hell of a lot more. And I think when you look at the equipment, the equipment is better, right? And it's better. It's proven that, you know what, from their testing, that it holds up better. What I think with Antonio Brown is the comfort level and him going, and like you made this point, Andy, it's not like he's playing with a leather helmet.
Right.
He's playing with a helmet, and their mind is not as safe as the new helmets that they
but was allowed a year ago.
Right.
That's my point. Like, well, the leather helmet was allowed 80 years ago.
But what they were trying to do was to help people like him and Tom Brady ease into this thing. We're not just going to chop it off and say that. They've been working on this.
Right. But so in the long run, you're right. What Antonio Brown should have done is when the CBA was signed, he should have seen this and said, wait a minute.
Right.
I plan on playing for a while. I want this helmet. Guys, we need to talk about this.
Hold on.
Who's my rep? Yes. I need to talk about this. This, but we know he's not doing it. He's not the type of guy that's going to do
and
that.
And that's where everything gets lost, right? Because even Brady probably didn't do it. Now I was like, wait, what? New helmet?
Right. He fought it last year. He tried to transition a year early. He couldn't do it. He didn't like it. He went back to the old one because it was the last time he could use it. He has chosen to not fight.
And what's he doing now? He's trying to figure out which of the new helmets. He doesn't like it. But he's doing it.
Let me ask you this. What if Tom Brady goes out in the opener and throws 6 interceptions?
I'm not going to blame the helmet.
And what about a week later he throws another 6? You think there's any chance he's going to say, wait a minute, I never did this with my old helmet. I can't see those corners on the outside. And maybe he changes the way he views it. I don't know.
But
these guys are creatures of habit and comfort.
And you brought up a good point with Michael Bennett, right? There are probably a lot of people that will say, hey, listen, you wearing those shoulder pads, they're not protecting you as much as you as say this style of shoulder pads. You know, you're wearing. He's probably wearing the same shoulder pads.
But there's a whole lot of difference between hurting your shoulder and hurting your head.
Right. But at the end of the day, I understand one injury is more severe than the other. But if you're still looking to protect players, right? Don't you want to protect them all the way from head to toe,
knees and thigh pads, and the things that they've instituted that they have to wear?
So, but he's going to say, listen, I feel comfortable in this or whatever, and you know, it's done the job for this amount of years. Yeah, I know. It's not as maybe, in your opinion, passes your standards or guidelines what you're doing now. But I've never had an issue with that. I think that's the biggest thing for Antonio Brown, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, is these guys look and go, in my old helmet, I never had a problem. You know, and it was still, you know, like you said, a couple years ago, the league looked at it and said, hey, this helmet can get the job done. Now you're basically forcing me to wear something that I don't feel comfortable in, and I feel like could put me more in harm's way, because of the
back in
level.
The day they used to wear metal cleats too, metal studs, and then they said we don't have
But now you're being a little over dramatic. No,
here's my point: technology changes, you make advances,
but it's not always for the better. There's plenty of technology that sucks. New things that are supposed to be better, and you realize, oh, it's not really that much. There was a while there. Remember the guys that would wear, like, was it Don Beebe, the little rubber thing?
It was the lineman from San Francisco.
And then they found out that they were actually worse because it stopped it from being a glancing blow.
Right.
It created more like, sometimes the technology you find out later isn't all that great.
It's you know, no different. I come to find this out because I'm, you know, looking for helmets for my kid. And if you ever seen Luke Kuechly, he wears that thing around his neck. that like black. What that does is stop the blood from flowing,
right. Like a woodpecker.
Right, it's like actually choking him a little bit.
Yep.
But there are probably people that has tested this and go,
oh, yeah.
This was help. And Luke Kuechly has suffered from a bunch of concussions. So I think it's
so when you're out looking for a helmet for your kid,
yes,
Your kid matters to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to get the best technology you can get, the most protective.
From what you tell me.
And if he says, yeah, but you know what? I really like this one more. It's not as protective, but I feel better.
Has he been wearing it for 5 years?
You know what you'd say? Yeah. You'd say, too bad.
Yeah, I would not. If my kid were playing and wearing it for an extended period of time and you tried to get a new one and he said, I just don't feel comfortable. Right. I don't feel like I can see. And he's been successful in the protective equipment. I'd probably say, stick with what's working for you. Is there a chance that it's 1% less protective? Maybe.
Maybe there's a chance it's 30% less protective.
No, there's a chance he's 30% more at risk when he's not comfortable and can't see right.
But see, that I think that's the biggest problem is what's the number? What's the what's that percentage difference between my protection if I'm Antonio Brown from wearing my Air helmet to me wearing one of them new Vices, Zeniths, whatever it is? What's the percentage there? Is it 5%? Is it 10%? Is it 50% like you said?
But, Wiggy, if it's 5%, you still want your kid protected 5% more.
But it's not an apples to apples because if he's not comfortable and can't see as well, then the 5% could be negated.
Right. See, and that's the way Antonio Brown is trying to position it, where I don't feel comfortable and I feel like I'm at more risk because I can't see or whatever it may be.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're down here at Gillette Stadium, the first Patriots Monday of the season. We will talk to James White and Daron Harmon at some point once they get off the practice field. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to Dale.
Dropping deuces right in front of you.
And Keith.
TV, movies, video games, beer, and my dogs, all I need.
On WEEI.
Stephen A., should A.B. be allowed to wear his helmet?
The answer is very, very simple. Hell no. And it's not about you. I know this is a debate show, but y'all had an opportunity to speak about this last. I asked to speak on this subject to lead the show because I couldn't believe the kind of nonsense that I was seeing last week while I was on vacation. Let me be very, very clear. The answer is hell no. A matter of fact, if I'm the National Football League, you know what I do to Antonio Brown? Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and retire. All that noise you made to get out of Pittsburgh to collect $30 million, now you're going to forfeit it. You don't need football. It doesn't need you. You don't need football. Bye. See you when I see you. Goodbye. This is some nonsensical stuff.
Stephen A. taking on the whole topic of Antonio Brown. And Andy made a great point earlier on. It's a little tough to defend this guy among all others.
Right.
If it was, you know, if it was Julian Edelman. You know, you'd find it a little easier to defend him.
Because Brady doesn't like the new helmet. And,
but he's wearing the new helmet.
As of now.
As of
this time a year ago, he was wearing the new helmet.
He didn't have to, though, a year ago. This year he does have to.
I'm just saying, we'll see, Dale.
I'd be willing to bet your house against my house he'll wear the new helmet this year.
House. But what was the difference?
I don't know if I want yours either, tell you the truth.
See, what I don't get, what was the difference between this time or a year ago?
Like they were trying to let these guys ease into this. Find one that works for you.
If it's such a safety issue, you shouldn't be easing into anything. Right?
Right.
But don't ease into something that is the difference between CTE and long-term brain damage and not.
They should have
clearly
like,
it isn't.
So because it's like, well, if you're going to grandfather me in, I mean, I'm only going to play a couple more years, so grandfather me in.
I just said to Wiggy during the break, because we've been discussing, I didn't see this hotly debated being the topic of the whole show, and it has, and we were talking about during the break. Mm-hmm. I said to Wiggy, I think if this had come up when they did the CBA, and players like Tom Brady and Antonio Brown said, wait a minute, no, I see what this is. I'm doing the years in my head. I'm still going to be around. I want to wear my helmet. We need to have a grandfathered in clause here. I think it would have been signed, sealed, delivered, easily done, a waiver, and whatever.
And guys like Stephen A. Smith would be then saying, hey, listen, if the NFL gave them the opportunity and said, hey, you're going to sign this piece of paper and you're gonna sign a waiver, hey, it's that man's right. He wants to go out there and play.
And I'm going to ask it again. If Tom Brady joined forces with Antonio Brown, would Stephen A. say, hell no, let him walk away from the game?
Yes, I think that's exactly what he'd say.
That's a dumb take. If you're just going to run all your good players out of the league, your best player, they're all Hall of Famers.
So there are no rules.
There are rules. Arbitrary ones that started this year opposed to last year that you pretend has to do with player safety.
You have to start them at some point.
Right, but you're pretending it starts with player safety, that it's such a big deal, I can't possibly be so irresponsible to let you go on the field with that helmet on. I let you go on the field with that helmet on within this calendar year, Tom Brady, right? February was this calendar year. Tom Brady had a helmet on that apparently put his life in jeopardy.
And
nobody said that.
But
don't
be dramatic. I'm beating drama with drama.
We've been talking about this concussion stuff for what, 5 or 6 years, right? It's been going on about
longer than that.
Longer than that, right? And so now all of a sudden, now the helmet that Antonio Brown is wearing, and this is kind of what he's probably thinking. Now all of a sudden, I can't wear it. But you had no issue with me wearing it 2 or 3 years ago.
Should sue the league. Right, put him out there in an unsafe helmet.
Yeah, when the concussion issue was at the height of its time, right? 2, 3 years ago, you had no problem running me out there with a helmet that, you know, you now say I can't wear.
And then, Antonio, your Players Association and us got together. We agreed. We accepted this. And now you don't think it applies to you, Antonio.
I also think that sometimes.
Where he goes, I didn't read it.
I also think at times that sometimes the players' union, there's a lot of things that are done that are kind of like, you know. Everybody flies through that stop sign, like, you know, when the players union comes in, right? We're at Gillette now. They'll come in. D. Smith will come in with some other reps that work for the union, and they'll like have like 5 hot topics that they're gonna talk about. This helmet thing might have been not even on the list,
right?
So guys don't know about it. You know,
it's like when you get those things in computers and you got to agree to it, and it's like scroll forever and you just check, I agree, and you move on, you accept the new app or whatever.
But at the meeting, they're only talking about like the 3 most important things, and they don't get to that other stuff.
I somehow got a feeling this was brought up.
I don't know.
They're about money. They're about benefits. I don't know. I'm not sure a 10-year rule on helmets, blah, 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 got brought up with all that much depth of discussion.
We're broadcasting live from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. The top performer of the week is brought to you by Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For trip and ticket information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots will be traveling tomorrow after practice, headed down to Nashville for joint practices this week with the Tennessee Titans. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about, you know, a young kid at wide receiver who might be opening some eyes down here as well. 617-779-7937. James White will join us. I believe Daron Harmon's going to come by as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.